Good morning. Welcome back to the next session of our series, Living Out of the Bank Account of Jesus. And as you recall, our main touchstone scripture is found in Revelation 5, verse 12. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And so we're going to be looking at these components of the bank account of Jesus, which are nutrients that our soul requires. They're the way that the majesty and the glory of God manifests in our life so that people can see we're believers and their attention be drawn to God. We are created, we have a capacity, we have a craving for these elements, and our soul is not whole or healthy unless we are getting them, and not just from the world, but from God and from God's way of giving them to us in our lives. And our souls long, remember we said, to return to the ground that we were created upon. So what are you looking for? Who are you looking to today to satisfy the needs of your soul? I want to draw your attention back to the bank account of Jesus. What are you feeding on? Because your good and great shepherd would really like to restore your soul. And Jesus alone knows what our soul is actually longing for, so we can trust him. Now, we talked about two kingdoms last time, the kingdom of Mammon, which is the kingdom of this world, and the kingdom of God, which is basically the kingdom of manna, where your needs are supplied for the day. Sufficient unto the day is the trouble thereof. So there's really two ways of going through life, and you will choose which one. Most of us live kind of a hybrid, but God would love to set us free from the tyranny of the kingdom of Mammon. And the spirit of Mammon is basically that you have to carry all you think you need or will need for security. So it's a mentality of you work while you can and stockpile for the future. And the spirit of manna, or the spirit of God's kingdom, is really an entirely different mindset. And what God would really like you to do is to carry the platinum credit card of Jesus along or around with you and call forth what you need when you need it. It's not a spirit of stockpiling, but it's a spirit of open-handed generosity and giving. And in Colossians 3:1, it says this: if then you've been raised with Christ to a new life, thus sharing his resurrection from the dead, aim at and seek the rich eternal treasures that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. So we're told, and it's actually called that, the rich eternal treasures seated with Christ, the bank account of Jesus, and we're supposed to seek them. That's what the scripture is telling us. And we're supposed to seek a restoration to this kind of life, this kingdom of manna that God has actually called us to. And we're going to look at the two components, dunamis and ischus. They're called in the English power and strength, or power and might, depending on your translation. And they are the Greek words dunamis and ischus. And we talked about the all things from our 2 Peter scripture. And two of those all things are things we crave greatly in our lives, which is power and strength. And we often use those words interchangeably. But in God's mind, those are actually two quite different components. And we're going to look at them together because even though they're different, they're very tied together. They're very needful to one another. But they are, in fact, two entirely distinct components. In Ephesians 1, verse 19 to 22, that you may know, that's God's will for you, the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. So this scripture ties the working of dunamis and ischus together. Power and might. Now, it seems like everybody, from AT&T to the furthest little African tribe on the continent, everybody wants power. Power is a universally coveted quality. And even the most spiritually mature among us, if we're being honest, we don't really pray for patience. Come on, let's talk turkey. Most of us need patience, but we are not really praying for it. We pray for power. We want to see miracles, man. We want signs and wonders. And so when you talk about dunamis, when you talk about power, everybody perks up and starts to pay attention. And in the New Testament, the word dunamis means power, especially inherent power, to be able, the ability to perform something, physical or moral power that is residing in a person or a thing, power in action. That's mostly how we use the word. Signs, miracles, deeds of power, as Jesus says in the gospel. But Jesus is the source of all power, the Godhead, and no one holds any power for any amount of time except that the Lord gives them permission. So that's a very interesting thought to hold regarding power. And we see that Jesus has a lot to say in Matthew 10:1, Matthew 28:18 to 20. And then again in Ephesians 3:16, it says that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might in the inner man. Again, those usages tied together. And this is what God wants for you. He wants power and might to flow in your life, power and strength. And scripture makes it exceedingly clear that it is his full intent that all the power and authority and virtue of his person should be released through your life and through his people. He will withhold nothing from anyone who give their lives and themselves to him. And this is not something that must be begged for or earned, but is the rightful legacy of a born-again, restored child of God. And we bring the authority of God. Remember, we talked about being born again, our spirit man united with the Spirit of God, and then our spirit man united with our soul man, so that it creates a clear passage for that power to flow through us and then flow through our bodies and then enter the earth. That is the flow of the river of God through which the bank account of Jesus manifests in our lives. And we see an interesting, a very powerful story about how dunamis works in Luke 8:43-48, which is, of course, a story with a woman with an issue of blood. Now, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me, dunamis going out from me." Now, when the woman saw she was not hidden, she came trembling, and falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." And so this woman who has no power, who can hardly drag her poor ailing body up to where Jesus is, gets this crazy idea in her head that if she can just touch the hem of his garment, the power will come into her body. And, you know, the rabbis could have stood there and argued with her theology, but apparently there was something quite right about it, because even without the volition of Jesus, when she touched him, she accessed his power, and the dunamis, because of her faith, just flowed right from him to her. And so we see that to access the dunamis of Christ, you have to come into agreement with the way his person, his character, and his will work, what he's doing. This woman made a confession of faith that was in agreement with both the character and will of God. And so power freely flowed out from him to the point of her faith. And this story is very powerful because it gives us great insight into our ability and right to access the bank account of Jesus. Although this woman specifically received the gift of dunamis, the way it flowed straight from the essence of Jesus to her also describes the way every other gifting he wants to bestow on us. It happens the same way. 1 Corinthians 1:23, for we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And so we see that the power of Christ was released through his obedience to the Father, his obedience to suffering and the death on the cross. And remember when he says, if any man follow me, let him take up his cross, right? If any man believes me, if any would be my disciple. And so that is how we also enter into the flow of the bank account of Jesus. And these gifts come to us. We follow in his footsteps. And if we don't embrace the discipline of the cross, the preaching of the gospel, and the gift of the anointing wherever it's flowing in our life at any particular time, we will not engage the dunamis. We will not engage the power. We're disengaged from it. So let's look at the second part of this component, which is strength or might, ischus. And it means force, power, wholeness, soundness, health, order, ease, ability. It can also mean physical power as an endowment, but it means to be morally whole, to be spiritually healed, or to be physically well. That's where strength flows out of when you are whole, when you are well. So we learn from this that God wants to heal us right down to the core. He wants to give us ischus. He wants to restore our capacity to hold the glory of God. And part of that, which is a very strong component, is becoming sound-minded, becoming restored in your thinking, because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And so when we become sound-minded, we overcome fear with love and then power and a renewed mind. So this kind of moral wholeness becomes the prerequisite for spiritual power. The opposite of that would be found in disease or infirmity, something the Bible calls an unclean spirit, demonic intrusion or demonic strongholds overtaking your thinking in some way. Fear, phobia, trauma, psychic wounding. And out of the fallen heart of man flows every form of sin, and it causes sickness to our body, because the scripture says the soul that sins, it shall die. And it causes suffering to the whole community around us. And the condition of sin in the world creates breaches in the soul. A perverse spirit is another way it's described, which allow suffering and sickness to permeate the whole of a person's life. So what you believe in your heart, what you morally practice, directly affects your health and welfare of your body. That is what the scripture teaches. And without the blood of the Lamb, there is no cure for the fallen nature of man. There's no cure for this diseased condition. It can only be controlled or coped with, drugged or managed. Only the blood of Jesus has the efficacy and the authority to restore ischus, wholeness, soundness, health, capacity to a person. So let's look at that 2 Peter 1 scripture, verses 3 to 8, 2 Peter 1, 3 to 8, one more time. As his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by his glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So the Lord has granted that we not only each person will find their individual healing in Him, but also in this apostolic age, the whole church itself will be the vehicle that brings restored health, wholeness, and soundness to entire generations. And we see in this pattern, add to and then add and then add, that this is the recipe, if you will, for restoring ischus and wholeness to our souls. God says, walk in these things, and you will not be barren, unfruitful, diseased, or fearful for that matter. So let's talk about capacity, because a strong component of the idea of ischus or strength is the ability to hold, power, the ability to hold moral goodness. And you can think of the difference between dunamis and ischus this way, if it helps you. Ischus is really more about manifesting the fruits of the Spirit. And dunamis is really more about manifesting the gifts of the Spirit. Prophecy, preaching, teaching, doing of miracles. Dunamis, gifts, ischus, fruits. And because the fruits of the Spirit, the virtues, are going on in the life of the person, it creates this capacity to hold more power. So we're going to have a look at that. And we see in Scripture that God talks about power and capacity. In Ecclesiastes 5:19, and then 6 verse 2. Also, every man to whom God has given riches and possessions and the power to enjoy them, and to accept his appointed lot and to rejoice in his toil, this is the gift of God to him. A man to whom God has given riches, possession, and honor, so that he lacks nothing for his soul of all he might desire. Yet God does not give him the power or capacity to enjoy them, but a stranger consumes and enjoys them. This is vanity and a sore affliction. So what it's really saying is that you can be a person who has everything in the natural, wealth, riches, favor, good job, etc., health, and you can have everything your soul can desire, but you're missing that ischus component, that moral goodness and understanding and capacity that comes from walking in the Spirit with God, and you won't even enjoy that. And we're surrounded by that all over in the world. People who have it all and still are not full and are not satisfied. So we need to understand that ischus is very important to the satisfaction quotient in our lives. And there's an ability that comes from God to enjoy the blessing, to be grateful for the blessing. And it's given to those who walk in the fear of the Lord. And without this key component, riches cannot satisfy. And we see this in the lives of lottery winners. Someone who's suddenly gotten wealthy or suddenly gotten very famous, but it has a devastating effect on their future, on their families. And you visit them again in 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, and they can actually say, I wish I'd never seen it, all the damage that it caused. They ended up worse than they were before. Why? Because they got sudden dunamis, but they had no ischus. They had no holding capacity. And so it crushed them. Because celebrity and fame have weight in the Spirit. It's a word we pick up from the Hebrew, kavod. We use it for glory or honor. But these are spiritual substances that are very heavy. They're very weighty. And if you put that weight on someone's life when they don't have the foundation of morality or walking with God or being grateful, they can just fall into addictions, because the weight produces pressure. And we see this in the lives of, you know, rock stars or people who become very famous actors and actresses. They become crushed by the weight of celebrity. And when they don't have a proper foundation, it can drive them to drugs and alcohol to just escape that pressure. They have substance, but they have no capacity to hold it and to contain it and to sustain it. So let's just look at the differentiation a little bit more between ischus and dunamis. Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So those two, again, there it is, work it together. And I can use the illustration of a very strong man. Say somebody 6'4", 230, walked into the room, and you look at him and you go, seriously, that guy has ischus. Like, he has capacity. My car is, I drove it into the ditch and I need somebody to help me push it out of the ditch. I'm going to pick somebody who looks physically capable. While he's standing there looking at the car, all we is manifesting is ischus. We are perceiving that he has strength. We're perceiving that he has ability. He has the capacity. But until he actually walks over to the car and puts his big hands on the car and pushes, then ischus becomes dunamis. Do you understand the tie between those two? And, you know, it's important that we acknowledge both. You see, we keep crying out for power. We keep crying out for power. We keep crying out for dunamis, but what we really need is ischus. And God is working ischus in us through patient waiting and through the trials of life. And God is continually blessing us, but our souls don't have holding power because of iniquity or woundedness or trauma, dysfunction, negative emotion. The fruits of flesh. In fact, there's a whole description of the characteristics to look for that are causing the holes in your soul so that the power just drains out. We see them in Galatians 5, verse 20 to 21. Galatians 5, 20 to 21. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, and they are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in time past, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, and they certainly won't be healed in their soul either. These are the things that keep the power from draining out of us. And so how does God work this growth in grace between dunamis and ischus? Well, I have a little illustration. When we become born again, think of this as the capacity of your life. When we become born again, suddenly a vessel is formed. Because now we have a spirit man, a little vessel is formed, and we were new believers, and we're just growing in grace, we're growing and learning the precepts, and God, but we want more, because God has spoken big things over our lives, but we only have this much capacity, so how is that going to happen? So God gives us a little something, he gives us a little task, he places us in a place, and he just says, keep on doing this, and just keep being faithful with it, and just keep growing in the fruits of the Spirit, and all of a sudden, we realize that we've gone from this size of capacity. Our capacity is increased because of faithfulness. And suddenly we realize, I'm bigger in this area than I used to be. I've learned about power. I've learned about goodness. And now I've got more capacity than I ever had before. And so the Lord now gives us another job. He places us in another situation where it stretches us. We have to draw on the promises of God. We have to enforce the word of God in ourselves. We grow in grace. We grow in faith. We grow in hope. We grow in the word. And our capacity just keeps expanding. And what happens is our capacity expands and it expands and it expands until we have a big enough capacity to hold the promises that God, and when we get the size of container that's exactly the same size as what God wants to pour, he just pours it right out, all the promises and all the destiny. But you see how important capacity is. We've got to have a big enough container, because if God tried to pour out this container in this capacity, it would be lost. So that's how God builds capacity in our lives so that we can handle the dunamis that he wants to bestow on us. And larger giftings take more time. And it's true that if you get a blessing in one area of your life, it's going to affect all the other areas. So God has to make sure that you're ready to handle that blessing. And promises are formed in the spirit realm before they manifest in the natural. God speaks forth a word and it has to be received by you in your life, and it begins to work in you. It begins to shape you and make the space for when it actually shows up in the natural. And so ischus and dunamis are formed to work together, and they do. Authority produces capacity. Capacity produces authority. Power produces capacity. Capacity then gives more power. You see how they work together. And Jesus said this, Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And strangely enough, it's embracing this yoke and this coming into rhythm with the way Jesus is working in your life, in his gentleness, in his kindness. This increases our capacity. We recognize power when we see it, and it builds ischus in the strangest and most wonderful ways. And we see a recurring sort of theme in Scripture. Scripture in a lot of places talks about 40 days. Something happened for 40 days. It was a trial. Jesus was tempted for 40 days. Moses was up on the mountain for 40 days. There's other things that happen. And 40 days is God's figurative way of saying a period of testing and preparation that builds capacity. Remember, Moses was up on the top of the mountain. Why? Because he was receiving an inner preparation and an inner impartation for an outer manifestation. And also remember that the apostles tarried for 40 days at Pentecost, praying and staying together. And before that great outpouring of Spirit came. So it's important that we honor these times in our lives, these 40-day periods when we seem to be in some kind of testing thing. We're on a tumble. We don't even know if we're doing anything right or anything's going to come out of it. But we stay on course and we just take the yoke of Jesus. We pick up our cross and we just keep walking with it, and the Lord transforms it. In fact, he says this is what happens, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That's from Zechariah 3:6. That's how God changes ischus into dunamis, and the two work together. So we don't try to force our way through and out of a season of weakness and vulnerability. We just live in the tension between having the power and knowing the word of God, yet being constrained by the love of Christ, being submissive, knowing that in our weakness, Jesus is really just doing something. He's transforming us and he's changing circumstances. It is God's will to work this ischus dunamis tension within us. So we've got to recognize that when we get in these seasons of testing and waiting and travailing, receive the anointing, receive the allotment of ischus that God is giving you. He is building might. He is building strength. Don't despise the day of small things, because it builds foundation. That's what the Lord is saying. And when those days are done, the power will come down and the dunamis will manifest. And so we in order to get dunamis and ischus, There's certain ways to get in the flow of God. One is through worship. One is, of course, ask for it. Position yourself to receive it. When God gives you a certain word, recognize that, oh, there's a new season starting and I need to just aim and my thinking and keep that uppermost in my mind. We need to wait for it. We need to prophesy it. And then we need to seize it by faith when it comes. This is how we grow in ischus and dunamis. and come into the fullness of the things God has for us. Thank you, Father, for all the good things you have for us. And help us, Lord, to recognize what you're trying to bring us in a season so we don't fight you, but we work with you in faith, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. Amen.